Come on in.
Shannon Broughton and her husband Rob live in suburban Richmond with their two teenagers and two enthusiastic dogs. She has two master's degrees, teaches middle school special education during the day, and at night she works with at-risk high school students.
With both of my jobs, and then I tutor on separate contracts that the schools offer me in the mornings before school, I probably pull in about $55,000.
Add in her husband's salary as a driver for FedEx, and they usually gross just over $100,000. Their state income tax last year was more than $3,200, and after paying federal tax, the mortgage on a small three-bedroom ranch, a car payment, and the grocery bill, there isn't much left over.
You know, my son came home and wanted to play frisbee golf, and I had to tell him it wasn't an option because they traveled every weekend and it wasn't a school sponsor because the school just doesn't have the money. And I said, son, we can't do that. I'm sorry.
But Shannon Broughton doesn't favor tax cuts.
Especially election years. It looks good on paper. The problem is what most families will save enough to buy a large pizza or a pizza dinner for a family is taken out of schools.
And she knows there are lots of people who depend on the state for public education, transportation, health care, and other essential services. In fact, some of the kids in her classroom can't afford supplies, so she spends $700 to $1,000 of her own money.
A lot of them come with nothing. I mean, their families are going through at work, you know, what everybody's going through, but they can't function in a math class with no paper and pencils, markers, crayons, colored paper. Our schools try to help us as much as they can, but there's just supplies that you need throughout the year that they don't have.
Now meet Dave North. He lives in a comfortable suburb of Washington, D.C. and travels often with his wife to see their grown children and grandkids. She's a weaver, and he does research for a not-for-profit in the district. Together, their adjusted gross income totals more than $92,000. But very little of that goes to Richmond.
We paid the thumping sum of $474.
One reason, he says, is that the state doesn't tax Social Security income, which for Dave and his wife comes to $32,000. What's more, the couple qualifies for a hefty tax deduction.
Since I'm over 65, as my wife is, we each get an age deduction of $12,000. Doesn't depend on whether we're rich or poor or sick or well, just we happen to be over 65, so pow, $24,000 is obliterated for tax purposes for the state of Virginia.
The state's tax brackets also perplex him. For nearly a century, multimillionaires have paid the same percentage of their income to the state as North and Broughton.
All income over $17,000 in Virginia is taxed right now at a 5.75% rate.
That's Becky Thomas, a volunteer with Virginia Organizing, a grassroots group that's pressing for tax reform. She notes that wealthier people tend to itemize on their federal tax return, taking deductions for things like property tax.
Renters also pay property tax indirectly in their rent, but they get no deduction whatsoever because they're not owners.
Federal deductions are, by law, transferable to a Virginia return. Then there are sales and excise taxes levied on things like groceries, gasoline, cigarettes, and beer. Here again, the rich do well, paying a much smaller percentage of their income than the poor.
The bottom 20% of taxpayers, their average tax is $977, and they're left with $10,122 to live on. And the top 1%, they may pay $81,000 in taxes, but they've got $1,475,000 left to live on.
Thomas says she's not out to soak the rich, but surely they could pay a little more. She and fellow volunteer Kate Rosenfield say this is no time to cut services.
In recessionary times, people are hurting more than usual, and therefore the cuts that state government chooses to make are particularly painful.
Nobody wants to talk about raising revenue, but in order for us to stop these drastic cuts, we really have to talk about raising revenues.
But lawmakers in Richmond are not inclined to make changes.
There is a hardcore group of legislators in the House of Delegates who have signed the No Tax Pledge, and they really firmly believe that tax is a four-letter word and are dead set against voting for any kind of tax increase, no matter what the purpose.
Delegate David England represents parts of Arlington, Alexandria, and Fairfax. He's been trying for years to promote reforms like raising taxes on cigarettes and gasoline or replacing the tax on groceries with a 1% income tax on people earning over $300,000 a year.
There's no change on your income up to $300,000 a year, And then for every $1,000 after that, you pay an additional $10 in taxes.
England says Virginia is a 21st century state living with an 18th century tax code. And while politicians are reluctant, he sees growing support for change among voters. One survey showed, for example, that most state residents support a combination of spending cuts and tax hikes to balance Virginia's budget.
The average Virginian is far more open-minded and reasonable on these issues and far less rigid and hidebound and ideological on these issues. And so I think the people are ahead of their legislators on these issues.
Englund concedes there will be no reforms coming out of the current legislative session, but he's hopeful that with cuts in services, pressure will mount, and in a surprising twist, the voters will actually ask for fairer, and in some cases, higher taxes. This is Sandy Houseman reporting.